Hey, this is Ben Free. This is the Don and Win Show on Saturday, June 21st, I believe. And I have my co-host, Don Newcomb, who is the founder of BBS Radio, and our guest today, who is going to share with us cover-ups. He is a numero uno researcher on finding the dirt under the carpet. And his name is William, what is your last name? Don told me.
Cormier.
Nice to have you with you. Nice to have you with you, and nice to have you with us. And you have a website, and your website is called?
Just Another Cover-Up.
Just Another Cover-Up. And Don, I was going
to
ask
you. Pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, folks. I love being here. I have my super duper co-host, Winfrey, with us today.
Do you have a headache, Don?
It's good to be here with you, folks. We got a great program here for you today. William Cormier is an excellent political, I would have to say, activist. He's been writing commentary, or basically a columnist, for his own website, which he founded, called justanothercoverup.com. And he spends hours and hours and hours every day reading, researching, and then printing what he believes is the truth. And more often than not, he's absolutely correct. So let's welcome William Cormier to the program. William, pleasure to have you with us.
Yeah, I assure you, it's my pleasure.
Well,
good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Pleasure to have you. Is there anything you wanted to ask right off the bat, Wynn?
Well, I'm just pulling up William's website right now, and I see his first cover-up story is Just Another Cover-Up Will Be Interviewed by UBS Radio. So we are exposing ourselves, Don.
I've been doing that since birth.
Right here in the public.
The second one was about Michael Reagan, which I think is unconscionable.
Oh, you know, when these people get on there and they start, well, look, don't a lot of our TV evangelists do the same thing, it seems? Remember, we've got TV evangelists now that are screaming, attack this, assassinate that, you know. So with Greg, it's just another one of those. You know, you've got a lot of people on mainstream news networks now screaming for blood. And it's unfortunate because a lot of them are really trying to condition people into somehow finding it acceptable to go out, take criminal actions in your own hands, and perpetrate them. And yeah, it seems like they're really trying to rally everyone around that sort of flag, and it's insane.
William?
Well, they are. However, there's one thing that's interesting, though. If a progressive or a liberal site were to put in print or to say on the radio that all liberals and progressives should kill all of the Bush supporters, for example,
yeah,
and we're going to go ahead and supply the bullets, how long do you think it would be before there'd be a SWAT team surrounding my house
and shut you down?
And throwing me in jail for making public threats.
Well, I'll tell you what. See, I'm not adverse to that because on the air, and my audience knows this, I've been very open about saying that the Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Condoleezza, and I mean I could go on, but I'm just going to say there are several of them right off the immediate top of my head that I feel should be tried for murder. And I feel the people should bring them out of their little nests and should bring them before the people and should bring them to justice. And I find that if they are found guilty of murder, they should be hung. Now, I'll repeat it because I'm quite bold about this. If these people which we believe they are, and I believe there's enough evidence, I truly do, to have these people tried for murder, for treason, and, I mean, just such a laundry list of things you could tack onto that, it would be mind-blowing. But I feel that, you know, because of the system the way it is, they need to follow suit with it, and therefore those laws do apply to them, and then therefore they should be hung.
I'd like to see him get sent to the Hague myself.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean that in a strong way because I feel that, you know, having their presence here on this planet is physically destroying it. And unless we can separate them and segregate them in such a way as they can't reach beyond their bars to continually be a destructive force, that, to me, might be the way to go. But these days, how many of these high, powerful criminals wind up in jail, stay there? And how often do you find it?
Almost never.
Never.
But now we do have an interesting event that's transpired that's adding a little bit more impetus to the impeachment effort, and that's General Tacuba's comments where he basically, let me see, I'm looking at it right now, Dennis Kucinich said that Major General Tacuba's comments confirm my long-standing assertion that President Bush and Vice President Cheney have committed war crimes in violation of the War Crimes Act. So, and you know, this was the, as I understand it, this one of these gentlemen was the commander of I'm not sure how to pronounce it,
Abu Ghraib,
over in Iraq.
Right.
So we've got one of our own generals, or one of their generals, and I'm not sure who this gentleman is affiliated with. I've been working all weekend, but this is really adding fuel to the fire.
Of course. Yeah.
But I think it's happening because of a combination of things. There's a lot of people that already believe that the police state is here. And without a question or a doubt.
That's Bush, the impression they're trying to give, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I mean, Bush believes in fascism. You know, and it's real simple and it's real easy if you understand what fascism actually means.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a special brand of fascism. His fascism only helps certain corporations.
Right, his buds.
And there's a large, you know, the GOP and the Republican Party is money-motivated. They always have been. And there's an incredibly large amount of corporations out there, you know, corporations that have been with us forever that are going bankrupt. Our airlines are going down. Business travel is becoming
well,
so expensive.
Well, some are, as you know, because we've got a global airline partnership happening. And
yep.
You also have global banking partnerships happening. So, yeah, unfortunately, you're right. I mean, it seems to be, it's not really fascism. It's more of a slap-in-your-face kind of fascism, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, and I think they're starting to rebel. When the Sun Sentinel ran the story about impeachment and stated that it was, you know, basically a waste of time, that was in a heavy GOP area, and, you know, they went after Robert Wexler
mm-hmm.
because of his co-sponsorship of the Articles of Impeachment.
Right.
And then they made the mistake of running a poll to see who was in favor of it and who wasn't, and they got blindsided. They missed their own, their subscribers. Were like 54 or 55% in favor of impeachment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
so,
I was reading something about that.
Yeah, that was quite a shock to them. The actual figures were 55.1% were supporting impeachment. 2.2% said they were undecided, and 4.9% said they didn't care.
Sure.
Of course, they missed a bunch of votes. They redid it, and then it went to 55.2%, 37.6%, and 2.2% undecided, and 4.9% that didn't care.
They're estranging many of these websites now. News websites are estranging their listenership or their readership. In fact, well, it's because a lot of these news programs, they play both sides of the coin, don't they? I mean, on one media, if it's televised media, they're a lot more left wing or fascist these days. It used to be more left wing, whereas on the internet, it was more right wing, but it was coming from the same exact group. Like CNN or NBC or ABC or MSNBC. Really,
you know, it's sad to see the way that CNN turns.
Oh, CNN is once this once it was funny. I mean, you could almost see it like a thick haze once these elections started, couldn't you? And they have shown their true colors ever since this election campaign began, and it just shows everybody what I honestly really thought all along. That they're they're an organization that is corrupt.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. They're I didn't see anything mentioned on CNN when George Bush went to England, and somehow or other they shut down a large segment of London when he came in, so that the protests he couldn't be protested. But the English are. Pretty ingenious, and they got in there. And they had signs, Bush is a war criminal, hang him, and everything else. And I guess the police got involved, or the bobbies, whatever you call them, with billy clubs and everything else, trying to beat him back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's really sad because we went from 7 years ago being the premier democracy in the world to now being one of the most hated countries in the world.
Hated and feared. Yeah.
It's absolutely astounding that one person, or maybe I should say two, I'm not sure who's running the country, whether it's Bush or Cheney.
I think we've all had thoughts about that.
Well, they say he's running the shadow government. He doesn't have to think that he has to answer subpoenas. I wrote an article and questioned whether he was saying he wasn't a United States citizen, because my understanding of congressional oversight is that they have the ability to subpoena you, me, the president, the Speaker of the House. It doesn't matter. That's what their job is. That's what the Constitution empowered them to do. And for someone to say, I'm exempt, you must not be a U.S. citizen then.
Yeah, how do they write their own passes? That's, again, just like some of the things they've been trying to do and what they're talking about doing here, again, with the wiretapping issue, is to give themselves and any of their buddies free passes for creating criminal acts that go against the Constitution.
Absolutely. And, there's a lot of people that don't realize what's astounding to me, and it's really a shame. And this is something that when history's written, or if one of the mainstream news media outlets actually let go with the truth, and they find out that the Bush administration, President Bush keeps getting up on it in his bully pulpit and saying that because of 9/11 we had to do this and we had to do that. However, they approached Q West 2 months after he was in office to start the illegal wiretapping.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of 9/11. I interviewed...
It was to keep it quiet. It was to keep a streamline of the information.
Yeah. That, and I think there's another reason, too. I interviewed a gentleman that was running for Congress,
mm-hmm.
And he stated unequivocally that he believed that the White House and NSA was spying on their political adversaries and using it to blackmail them.
Interesting.
We all have skeletons in our closet. Nobody's perfect. I don't think there's anybody...
I think Bush might even have a blow-up skeleton.
Oh, I think you might be right. He's got a large closet, that's for sure. larger than most of us.
You know, they're getting most of and this makes me really happy, but the new stats that are coming out are saying that 85 or 84% of all newsgoers are getting their news from talk radio. That's astounding.
Which side, though?
Pardon me?
Which side?
Well, all talk radio. I mean, they're just saying that the media, the way to media, TV media, and their website media has lost so much ground because they're more entertainment type firms that really didn't want to do media in the first place but are kind of forced to. And people have known that for quite a while, and now that talk radio has become such a large endeavor, especially with the internet opening up so wide with it, that 84% and growing are getting their news from talk radio.
Well, we need it, and we need it to be 94%. And actually, you know, if people would turn off their television sets and start getting their news from the internet or from talk radio where they actually had the facts, it's extremely hard to make a logical decision when you have the wrong information. You know, there's... my son works in the public. I work part-time in the public. And when you talk to people and you realize that so many people, even though the President Bush himself has said that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, there's a very large, in fact, there's a majority of the American people that still believe that Iraq had something to do with 9/11.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Somehow, because they've used those words in conjunction with each other for so long, people just, they've tied the two together errantly.
Absolutely. If you tell a lie long enough and often enough, people begin to believe it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just really sad that, you know, people actually believe that the gas prices right now are due to supply and demand.
Yeah, like gold
it's
prices.
Simply not the case.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I believe it was one of the, it was the CEO or CFO or one of the big wigs of BP Oil that stated himself that that wasn't the case, that we did not have an oil shortage.
Yeah, well, exactly. I've been in the oil business. I was in it for years. And, you know, I hobnob with a lot of the people out in Texas, I might add. And we're talking some of the billionaire families that were extreme into oil. And, you know, we had our fill of the truth. And the truth is exactly that. Peak oil's a myth. It just is. Now, people can debate me because they don't have the facts, but if they had them, they would know it. There's so much oil and gas out there. It's mind-boggling. I don't even think you'll come to the end of it for decades and decades, centuries.
I think we've got about 44 more years on the last report that I read.
I would have to say we've got enough oil in some of these fields to last that, triple that easily.
Oh, I mean, before we start to feel the effects of the supply and demand actually being what's driving the price rather than the speculators and the money changers and Wall Street, you know, and we've got a lot of politics right now. I can't help but wonder, you know, you look at Israel, they just did their so-called training exercise, which encompassed 900 miles, which is exactly how far it is to the Natchez nuclear facility in Iran.
Right.
And oil went up $5 a barrel immediately. You know? And, you know, you've got to wonder. I've been predicting that there's going to be an attack on Iran, and I really believe that there is. But by the same token, you have to wonder in the back of your mind if we're all not being taken for a ride. Are they really going to attack Iran, or are they going through all of this rhetoric just to drive up the price of gas so that our president and Cheney and Halliburton and KBR and the oil giants can finish, you know, transferring the wealth of America into the elitists.
See, that's a good point. That's, in fact, that's what the banking institution, the banking establishment is really trying to do, aren't they? They're trying to rape our economy and take that wealth for themselves. And they're using...
They're doing a good job of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Don, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, William, tell me exactly, if you know, how is the price of oil and gas manipulated? Like, what is the process that it goes through that ends up being a higher price on the pump?
It's kind of interesting. Two of my sons work for a pretty large gas station chain. And, for instance, we know already that in August, gas in Georgia is supposed to be $4.50 a gallon. $4.30 a gallon. These prices are already set right now, and they're set based on what they paid or what's coming down the pipe. As far as the oil speculators themselves, it's a pretty intricate procedure, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know all the ins and outs. I do know that Germany, that Japan, and that several other countries are halting the oil speculators. Now, the lobbyists in the United States are working overtime to stop it. They say, no, we need the free market, we need this. No, we don't. We need the price of oil to reflect what it should be. And, you know, it's basically destroying our economy right now. People are having a rough time keeping food on their table and gas in their cars. We've got more people on food stamps in the United States today than in history. I mean, it's literally that bad. When you look at the floods that are raising absolute havoc on the Midwest, we've lost 20% of the corn crop this year, they say. That's going to impact food prices. You add diesel, the truckers are getting killed. I don't know where this is going.
Well, it's funny because again, it's created. This has been created. How do we know that? How do we know that there's no shortage and all this has just been created by the sick minds of a few? How do we know? Well, look how fast it happened.
Well, how do we know it?
Look how fast it happened. You see what I mean? All of a sudden, in a few years, with one man in power, we don't have this, we don't have that, everyone's in need of this, we're in need of that, we don't have this. You see, it's a put-on.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a big con job. And unfortunately, the bankers are using that to facilitate their own ends to bring these economies, European and North American economies, under one world order, even though it'll be separated for quite some time. That's still the agenda. And so these elite bankers that have all this money that they've stolen, that's exactly what they're trying to do. It's always, 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 you can pinpoint it right back to the main banking establishment. And the World Bank, those around it, and the families that are a part of it. It all can be, even the biggest lobbyists and the payoffs can all be tracked back to a few of these banking establishments.
Well, one of the things that happens, I'll give you an example. On May the 6th, Goldman Sachs made a prediction that oil prices would rise to $150 to $200 a barrel within 2 years. Okay? That creates panic among the oil speculators, or actually, I wouldn't say panic is the word. It probably creates a sense of glee and happiness. You know, I mean, they're probably all partying and popping cork to bottles of champagne and everything. But what they're doing is when they're making predictions like this, they're conditioning the people to expect it. This is what it's going to be. We're going to make this prediction. And sure enough, there it is. You know, when Wall Street warns the public that oil is bound to increase, they're conditioning the consumer to expect it, even when supply and demand did not support that. Business Week did a wonderful article on it. The reason for high oil prices, no lines at the pump. And they flat said, for example, the refineries in the United States have cut back their utilization to 85%. And that's down from 89% a year ago, in a season when production is normally 95%. And they're doing it to draw down gasoline inventories to raise the price.
Exactly. So why are they doing it? And again, it comes back to it's easier when you create this sort of a situation to then control the economies. It really is about controlling the various economies or gaining control of these various economies and, or countries and their banks. So it always comes down to that almighty dollar for these guys, unfortunately.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, when you have a population right now, the food, people in the United States don't realize that we're sitting on the precipice of a food shortage and even the possibility of a famine in the United States. And that may seem like a pretty...
And by design, too.
Absolutely. I mean, we're using corn for ethanol, which is not bio-friendly. It takes more energy to create ethanol than it saves.
Yeah.
It's driven up the price of beef, of pork, chicken, everything else. It's lowered land usage that we've traditionally used for wheat. So now we've got famines, we've got food riots in Egypt, we've got them happening all over the world, and it's all manufactured.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have a caller here who just called in. His name is Don Nikoloff. Don, welcome to the program.
Hi, Don, and hi, Wynn, and your other guest there.
Pleasure to have you with us. Don Nikoloff is actually a reporter, like yourself, William. He writes for the Idaho Observer, and he writes for his own columns, which are then picked up by Rents and various others throughout the website. And he's been doing this for quite a time. He's really a research, in-depth researcher and reporter. And he does a daily show with us called Evident Footprints. Don, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was listening to the comments being made, and I wanted to add a couple of key points regarding the oil prices. And some of this is related to the structure of OPEC. Now, I've had Lindsay Williams on my show. Actually, a couple of times, once while I've been with BBS Radio, not too long ago, in fact, and he just retired about 2 weeks ago after 35 years of blowing the whistle on the non-energy crisis. He was a pastor up at Prudhoe Bay to the oil workers, the wildcatters up there, and he got to sit in. He was made an honorary executive member on the board meetings and got to sit in on all the meetings where they stated, this was back in the early 1970s, they were already saying that by 2008 they would be charging $5 a gallon for gasoline. Now we see that unfolding. So he's been telling the truth about this for 35 years. In addition to that, what we understand about OPEC is that OPEC is this oil cartel that is of the Middle East, yet they've never mentioned the fact that the United States is part of OPEC. When we had the first oil embargo going back into 1973, and those who are old enough to remember the gas lines certainly remembered oil jumping up astronomically at that time. And it was still under a dollar a gallon, I should say gasoline prices, and they were claiming that they couldn't drill anymore at a cost of $18 a barrel, that because of these prices going up in the Middle East, it would force prices, drilling prices, we're talking about wholesale per barrel costs at $18 a barrel, was impossible for us to do, which was a farce.
Right.
Okay? Now, oil is up where? $150 a barrel, somewhere like that. It's been fluctuating a little
bit. Yet we still don't see the production exactly.
Exactly. Now, what they don't also tell us is that when they went there to the Middle East and to Saudi Arabia to develop these oil wells, they talked them into a deal where they said, look, we'll develop all your infrastructure for pulling the oil out of the ground and marketing it, refining it. And what you do with your money that you make is you put it in U.S. Treasury bonds, which is what they did. And these were 30-year bonds that are about to mature, I believe, August of 2008.
Wow.
And now...
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, now this money has been stolen. Do you understand? Listen to what I'm saying. This money is not in those accounts. In fact, they're stealing money left and right. And I've written about this in Wantagate. I've written about this about the gold bullion around the world that's been secreted. The Hirohito gold buried in the Philippines at 167 locations. The Soekarno and the Suharto gold in Indonesia. And now they're paying off the Wanta money with withheld treasury certificates that belong to someone else. In fact, I know the person these belong to. And there is a cash of $500 trillion in treasury certificates designated for energy projects and development projects around the world. And these bastards are stealing the money. And still,
yeah,
the oil prices are climbing.
And these companies, you know, when you start thinking of these companies that think that somehow it's great to be involved with these big industry corporations because they might be shareholders or they might be working as an executive with these companies, you know, a lot of times these companies are going to get raped and pillaged as well. You wait. I mean, a lot of these companies, just like the big airlines, some of the big banks, big oil companies, big pharmaceutical companies, you know, you do one thing wrong, they're going to come through and clean off and rape you too. Nobody's safe when you're dealing with perverts, people that like to pervert the truth. And unfortunately, these people are going to abscond with everything they possibly can. And it just fits with their own design. So, you know,
and
how...
That's why we need impeachment now.
We need it now, but of course the new tale is that why bother? Isn't that exactly what they were saying way back when? Well, you know, why should we bother impeaching? We don't have enough time. We won't have enough time. And they keep bringing the articles of impeachment. Dennis Kucinich has a couple times now, and now they're using the same thing. Oh, we don't have enough time. It's more bother than it's worth. He's only got a few months left. That's not the point.
The
yeah.
point is, and this is my understanding of the Constitution, it is not their, whether they debate it, and it's not their prerogative to impeach, it's their duty to impeach. By President Bush's own words, he implicated himself in torture, he trashed the Geneva Convention, he's broken international law, and they have a duty to impeach. It's not their prerogative. Nancy Pelosi is probably, you know, I'll be honest with you, we've had a lot of firsts lately. We had the first black Secretary of State, and we know what happened to Colin Powell. We had our first Mexican Attorney General.
Yeah, Gonzalez.
And we know what happened to him.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, all of these firsts are turning out to be last. And it's really a shame. It's just not working. We need, you know, right now we're in a situation, unless you're a multimillionaire, you have no chance of running for the presidency. They say that over $1 billion is going to be spent on this year's election.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's yeah. mind-blowing.
We have a dichotomy here too. None of these people are Americans. These are charlatans. As I write in my articles, these are the Three Stooges come back to life.
I think. Well, you know, it started. President Bush made a big speech about appeasement, And he forgets one thing, that his grandfather, Prescott Bush, in 1933, with a host of corporate America, and I don't have all of their names offhand, that were involved in a plot to overthrow the government, they approached a Marine general who gave him up, and we appeased those people and gave them another 40 years to go ahead and keep planning to overthrow our government, rather than charging them with treason as we should have done, and ended it when we could have. And now we're sitting on in the same position again. Are we going to appease the people that have broken our laws, spit on our Constitution, refused to abide by our own laws? Are we going to appease them, or are we going to prosecute them?
Well, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I reiterate my statement. These are not Americans. These people are not Americans. So they're not committing treason. They have no business being here. We have to wake up to the extent where we get them out. We take them out of office. Not because it's the right thing to do based on impeachment. This is organized crime masquerading as government. This is infiltration of the government by foreign elements.
Period. Oh, I agree.
It's the criminal class at work.
I wrote an article probably a year and a half ago, and this is, people don't realize it, but Congress has another route that they're refusing to use, and that's by using the RICO statute, which is exactly what this is. It is organized crime, and the RICO statutes were made, custom made, to deal with a situation like this.
Well, who's going to investigate?
That's a problem.
You've got corrupted law enforcement agencies. You've got a corrupt Justice Department. Who is going to investigate this? Who is going to orchestrate the proper handling of such an issue? You see?
That's a good question, and one that I don't have an answer to. There does appear to be some cracks in the dike right now. And I'm hopeful that it's going to build. But I'm honestly worried with NSPD 51 in effect, where Bush can declare martial law with the stroke of a pen. We've got FEMA camps built all over the United States that are manned. Most of them are empty right now, but they're still manned. And, you know, we've been told supposedly that they're for illegal aliens, which, you know, should insult the intelligence of anyone that understands that the president that won't secure the southern border and is letting them come in as fast as they can certainly has no intention of locking them up in internment camps. So
well,
who are those camps for?
They're obviously trying to destroy the middle class. That's cut and dry. Clear case.
Well, look at our industry. I mean, you got to think of prison labor. I mean, he started in the prisons, like Clinton in Arkansas. Prisons are a big corrupt institution. I mean, it's almost like the hypocritical stamp on our country. You've got so many people incarcerated. You got a legal system run by people who think they're somehow special because they wear this black little uniform and they're part of the club. But it's similar to, you know, British rule. It's unfortunate we've got such corruption in it because they've utilized the prison systems for a greater part of their agenda, and they're still doing so. And I think that, you know, when you've got as many people incarcerated as we do for next to nothing, and they're using a lot of this labor and what have you, for corporate labor, then they just have a model. It's a beautiful model for them, because the more and more people they get into the systems like that, the better it is for them.
Yeah, it's fascinating that the world's so-called premier democracy has more people incarcerated per capita than any nation on earth, including China, Russia, any of them.
Yeah. It's a heck of a way to go.
One out of every 9 adults in the United States has been on probation parole, or has been convicted of a serious crime. 1 out of 9.
Yeah.
That is such an incredible figure that it boggles the mind. Plus, you know, when people go in front of a judge, one of the things that they're told is you're going to serve your debt to society. However, they never, ever allow that debt to be repaid. And a good example was after 9/11, President Bush made sure that in the TSA, anybody that had been convicted of shoplifting, of, you know, basically any petty crime whatsoever, they lost their jobs. Now, how that the presidency somehow equated that if you were guilty of shoplifting, that somehow or other you were a national security risk, and you would go along with terrorists, just absolutely amazes me. But it's creating that subclass of people, almost like the caste system of India.
I agree.
And while we're paying attention to what you just remarked about, they're stealing trillions of dollars themselves.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're on paper, the United States is bankrupt.
Oh, we've been bankrupt since 1913. That's when it began. And it began a good 20 to 50 years before that, when they plotted it together.
The question is, what do we do about it?
Well, we have to come to a realization, and, you know, it's like when people say, well, we may have martial law.
Well, we got to come at them with a little shock and awe, and that's like Vincent did in his new book. Let's get these prosecutors, let's open it up, let's bring them to the table for murder.
Yes.
You know, really, let's show them that we're going to come at them for murder, and they might just be electrocuted, injected, hung, shot, whatever the case is that the American people find is just. But bring in these guys. Let's not let them spend that money and glorify in them. You know, really, these people need to be brought to justice, show them the kind of system they created, and make them a beautiful little part of it.
You know, I think that Americans forget the power that each and every one of us hold. There's a site out there right now called VoteTheStrike.com. And they're advocating a general strike for September, beginning on September the 11th, which, you know, I'm a very firm supporter of a general strike because it is the people that run this country.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
We're the ones that drive the buses, the trucks, sell the goods. We do everything. The people in the United States of America can essentially shut this country down. They can stop it cold and force Congress to do their job.
Sure.
But that takes solidarity, and most of all, it takes people to be aware of the crimes that are being perpetrated against them. And the problem is they haven't hit rock bottom yet, and by the time they do, they're not going to be able to. It's hard right now for people to even get in their car and drive to go to a protest because of the price of gas. You know, we used to have massive million-man marches during the civil rights era on Washington. How many people can afford to drive to Washington, D.C. now with the price of gas?
Well, we should start doing it locally and put a damper on the local machine, because they've infiltrated all aspects of government at every level, whether it's the federal level, the state level, the county level, or the city, town, township level.
I agree. Yeah,
and you can start where you live and wake people up around where you live. Now, there is this issue of karma. Do we go out and try to provoke people out of their slumber when they're maybe they're paying off their karma while they're asleep? We don't need all 300 million Americans or whatever number of legal Americans are here. We only need 5% of the populace to affect
change.
That's all we need. Yes. And we need to develop a system. And I my estimation is it starts locally. This is where you live. This is where you do business. You know, if the gas stations are going to charge these exorbitant prices, maybe we would all do well not to buy gas at all. Now, that doesn't sound practical for people, but you will bring corporate America to its knees when the workforce refuses to go to work because they're being extorted at every level, and whether it's rent, food, taxes. You know, 50% of what you pay for gasoline prices goes to the federal government. They don't tell you about that. They don't tell you about the secret bank accounts and the offshore trust funds that they put these funds into for themselves, for their own aggrandizement.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's like a lot of people believe that the Federal Reserve is owned by the government.
Yes.
And it's not privately owned.
Yes, it's an indirect conflict with the Constitution. The power to create money never should have been taken away from the U.S. Treasury. And we have Nelson Aldrich to thank for that back in 1913.
Yep, we do. And you know, there's one of the things that I think that bothers me the most is we can all write and we can all talk, but we are very quickly reaching the point where that if we don't do something, and, you know, one thing there's one thing that President Bush did say, and I see it, I read a lot of blogs, I read a lot of discussion forums, and I hear people talking about revolution. And I'm extremely, adamantly against that. The only true thing that I've heard this president say since he's been in office was when he was in Iraq, and he said that it's a lot easier to tear down an infrastructure than it is to rebuild it. This is our country. It's taken over 200 years to build. The infrastructure is already in rough shape. We've got dams all over the United States that are in disrepair. We've got pharmaceuticals in our water. All you have to do is look at 11 and 12-year-old girls, and I don't care what anyone says. When I was in school, I didn't look like that.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, now they're taking their daily dose of hormones and mood elevators and antidepressants. It's in our water. Nothing's being done about it. And, you know, something has to be done to address these issues. And tearing down this country.
Well, we have to get rid of the people that are creating these problems, because they'll keep going on steamrolling people with one problem after another. See, because they have a lot of it's easy to, like you said, bring things down and destroy it. So these people can constantly steamroll us, run roughshod over us, and that's what they're doing in the media and all forms of communication, and they're doing it with our own laws. What we need to do is we need to go after one or two of them and bring them down legally, using the system to bring them down, and then we just keep going after one after the other. Because remember, it's funny, once you get these people starting to open up and you start prosecuting them for murder and telling them everything they own's being taken away from them, and that it's going back to the people, and they'll end up in prison for the rest of their lives with a guy named Guido, I gotta tell you, eventually, I truly believe that these people are going to start opening up. What we have to do is we need to really honestly take the ball by the horns and bring these people to justice. And that's by impeachment, trying them for murder, and going in and writing massive amounts of letters, talking with our legislators, bringing groups up and holding meetings, town meetings, getting together with our neighbors, getting involved with the local group so we can find out who is in charge of our police force here. Who's the guy who heads up who's controlling the information that comes in and out of this police unit? Or that's coming in and out of our local court jurisdictions? What is going on here? And really, it's adding up this corruption and bringing the system to bear against them, because it's still one of the finest systems in the world. It's just being walked on.
It's being walked on because our Democratic Congress is complicit, and they're allowing it to be walked on. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of them are frightened. I think that you remember the days of J. Edgar Hoover. And he had dossiers on...
Yeah, but look at J. Edgar Hoover. I mean, he's a frightening-looking guy.
Yeah, well, what, when he was wearing his dress or his gun?
I mean, if he were to come to me when I was a little boy and say, come here, I got a lollipop for you, I'd be running for the hills.
Can I ask a rhetorical question? And this is for anybody. You know, when you... I don't watch much television, but when you want to watch a movie or you want to check out the news or something, and you might be channel surfing, you ever notice while they're taking or the FDA is attempting to take away the sale of vitamins and herbs from anyone who is selling a homeopathic alternative to traditional allopathic medicine, that they're bound and determined to destroy these people, yet every night you'll see these commercials for these little blue pills, whether it's Viagra, Cialis, Enzyte, all these penis...
Oh, yeah, I think it's population control. I think that a lot of those type of products, like the Viagra and Levitra and all the others, I actually believe that those are forms of, in the long run... control, population control. They alter the body's chemistry, the hormones enough that it actually somehow prevents you from having kids later on.
Yeah.
I believe that. I don't know that, folks.
Well,
don't you find
it a bit ironic that they run this little crawl, this disclaimer at the bottom, that this has not been approved by the FDA, yet they can put this on TV? Now they started advertising Trojan Common.
Sure.
They've got two women sitting in a French restaurant laughing about a tickler condom.
I love that one, huh? Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. That one's news to me.
This is ridiculous. What's going on?
You know, the hypocrisy is absolutely astounding. You know, as an example, Fox News is probably, I like to call them the Republican Learning Channel. Because, you know, that's exactly what they are. I mean, they talk about misinformation and political spin. Boy, they really top the list. But the bottom line is this is a station that is so-called Christian values and everything else. But if you look at Fox late night, they show the raunchiest shows in America.
Well, because they honestly, Murdoch is the kind of fellow, when you're owning 70% of the media establishment throughout the English-speaking countries, and you're that kind of an individual, then, truthfully, he really doesn't give a darn. He likes entertainment. He thinks it's all entertainment. I honestly believe the guy, you know, he never wanted to give out the news. I think he's a criminal. But
I do too.
Yeah.
I think he should be thrown in jail for
treason.
I think that when you misinform the people of the United States, that should be a crime. When you label propaganda as news,
I agree.
That should be a crime.
I agree.
Have you ever done the numerology on the call?
We got to close her off here, though, because we're out of time. Don, thank you for joining us. Don with Evident Footprints. You'll be able to hear him every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Pacific time on Station 1, and on Wednesdays at 1 p.m., the TNT hour. And for all of you out there, we're going to introduce William Cormier's website again. William, if you'd like to do a plug here before we have to call in the light and close out.
Sure. It's www.justanothercoverup.com. And what you're going to find on that website are facts. I don't make allegations without substantiation. Everything that's written on there just about has a corresponding news story or somebody, there's a quotation from somebody, and I use the best news sources that I possibly can.
Well, we're proud of you. Thank you. William, I must say, folks, you really got to go over and see justanothercoverup.com because I found it to be one of the best news sites I've been at, and I've read them, and I've been reading them for years. So take me up on that, folks. Head over and check out William Cormier's blog, And get active. Get active. Let's work together and get this monkey business behind us. Wynn, thank you for being a part of this. We'd like you to call in the light if you could. I know we haven't given you much of an opportunity, but you do get the last word. So speak up, man. Wynn?
Is he there?
Wynn?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Let's go.
William, at the end of our show, we do a quick kind of calling in the light. And I'm one of these guys that's been having conversations with the other side. So they tell me they're actually listening. And that's probably one of the best hopes we have for the world right now, because they tell me they can do interventions. But don't believe me. Just consider the possibilities. Also, I think you would be a great guest on Don Nikoloff's show.
I was hoping to ask that.
I'm asking on your behalf, Don. So
thank you.
I hope.
I'd love to.
In fact, I'll email you both each other's contact information when I want.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and to the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy amongst all of us present who want to participate in that, and all of you who are listening who would like to participate. And within this group energy, we invite those higher service to other sources to join with us. And when we create an intent, our intent has power, because it has not just the three of us, not just all of you who are listening, but it has all those additional sources who are positive to add to our intention. So on that, I'd like to ask that we as a group can request any interventions to keep our planet peaceful for the highest good of all concerned. I'd like to ask that this energy be sent around our planet with the principle of peace, and those people who are decision makers might be touched and choose to make compassionate decisions in the way they operate. On that note, I wish everyone good night. Don, thank you for being my co-host.
Thank you.
Thank you for being our guest.
William, we'd love to have you back. Folks, we're out of time. We'll be back next week. Stick around. We have a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. You were listening to Donna Wynn Show. Thanks for tuning in to BBS Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I love you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone. And we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.